again, just a moment. We have three graduates to come and share. But before they do that, I've always wanted to do this because I've been going to too many graduation ceremonies. And every time I go, some teenager stands up there and tells us, you know, tells his classmates to run the race, to go for the goal. And I, you know, after like 10 or 15 times, you begin to realize, you know what? They all sound the same. And so I'm going to try not to sound the same. And I'm trying to try not to give a graduation message, but a challenge for all of us. And so the thing that I was thinking about, what would I want to say to graduates? What would I want to say to precious students who've been through our youth ministry and now at a point where they say goodbye to school or goodbye to the junior high or high school? It's really difficult. But then I thought about something that's really cool. I was thinking about the salmon, the fish, the salmon, right? Besides being a very good and tasty morsel for us humans, you can learn a lot from a salmon. See, a fish like a salmon exists for three things and three things alone. What is it? At the end of their life, they swim upstream, they lay their eggs, and then they die. Okay, so if I was thinking about what can I encourage you graduates with, is to be like the salmon. Swim upstream, lay eggs, and die. Okay, so that's all my message. Let's pray. Let's go on. So everybody turn to your neighbors and say, swim upstream. Go ahead. Lay eggs and die. Okay, that is the goal today. Right? So if you forget anything else I said today, please remember that. I encourage you to swim upstream. So what does that mean? What does that mean, right? I wanted to go through the Bible real quick. You don't have to turn with me, and I don't have any PowerPoints today, so you're going to have to trust me. Right? So I'm going to show you three stories that really illustrate these principles. And so actually there are three stories in the Bible, but actually for me, they're like three graduation stories. And so the first of all, I want to talk about what it means to swim upstream. I was reading the book of Daniel. And I don't know if you guys remember Daniel's story very well, but remember when he was a young person, he and his friends were taken captive to this place called Babylon. And the king Nebuchadnezzar put these really beautiful, youthful, strong, smart kids into his service. And in order to become a servant of the king, you have to go through some re-education. They had to strip you of the Jewishness and put into you the Babylonian style. Anyways, part of this re-education program, sounds scary, right? Require that they eat the food from the king's table, which has obviously been offered to idols. Now, as a Jewish person, Daniel would say, no, we cannot eat food offered to idols. We cannot do that. And so it says in Daniel 1:8, it's really critical. In Daniel 1:8, he says this, Daniel made up his mind not to defile himself with the king's choice food. Now, when I was young and reading this story, I was like, Daniel, you refuse chicken and steaks and ribs and siyogai and chow fun and pho. You refuse all that stuff all so you can eat vegetables and water. What a crazy dude. But here was Daniel. And scholars have said that at this moment, he's about 16 years of age, so which is near and dear to my heart because that's the group I work with, that at this time, he said that he made up his mind to swim upstream. He made up his mind because of the greatness of his love for God that he says, I am not going to defile myself even if you kill me. So whether you're entering college or entering high school from junior high or entering college or starting your career, there's going to be pressure. There's going to be grades, expectation. There's going to be demands of what major am I going to do. And there's going to be the rich promises that if I just work harder and if I work longer hours, if I step over people or whatever it is, I can get that promotion. And then all this career pressure, and not to mention the media that you watch and the influences of friends and the lifestyle that comes with money and all these things, what I call the world things, they're going to entice you and they're going to tell you, beckon you to come this way and do this and compromise your faith and just neglect that relationship with God that you have. Those things are going to come. Those times will come. But like Daniel, my encouragement for you is to swim upstream. Make up your mind today and make up your mind every day that no matter the cost, that you will not forsake nor compromise your relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to be a swimming upstream kind of Christian, okay? So be like Daniel. So that's the first thing I want to encourage you. Swim upstream. The second thing I want to talk to you about is I want to encourage you to lay eggs. Okay, that's going to be a little difficult for some of us. Now, when Paul wrote his final graduation letter, graduation from life, actually, it's graduation letter to a young pastor named Timothy. He tells him very many important things, just incredibly important things in 2 Timothy. But one thing that always stood out for me all these years is in 2 Timothy 2:2, where Paul states that, Timothy, the thing which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now look around you for a second. Go ahead. Check them out. Now each of you came to be where you are today. Each of you came to be where you are today because someone took time to lay some eggs in your life. Right? Someone took time and said, I'm going to lay eggs in this person's life. And so that's my encouragement to you and my challenge to you, that simply just because you graduated from whatever you graduated from, that does not mean that now you neglect the people left behind. For instance, if you graduate from high school and you go off to Koinonia or college, don't neglect us poor people back here in New Life. Because you have a lot of wisdom that God has given you. And I challenge you and I encourage you that you would choose someone in this congregation. I don't care how old you are, whether you retired or whether you're just starting out, but choose someone younger than you in this congregation, and would you pour your life into them? Would you just give them wisdom? Would you take them out for coffee? Would you just go alongside of them and say, hey, how are you doing? Where are you at? How is your relationship with God? Because I want you to plant seeds. I want you to just encourage and rebuke and disciple and love someone else so that you can lay eggs in this person's life so that they would grow as well and become the mature Christian that we are all trying to be. And so lay eggs. That's my second challenge. Just salmon. You never knew. Yeah, next time you eat salmon, just look at that piece of fish and say, man, I can learn a lot from you. Finally, what does it mean to die? What does it mean to die? Now, Jesus said many things that just baffles me, but none more than in John chapter 12, verses 20 to 26. I won't read the whole thing. But the gist of the story at that moment was that there are some Greeks who obviously came to Jerusalem or wherever he was and was seeking to speak with Jesus. It's an interesting time. And so they found one of the disciples named Philip. And Philip, he went and off and found Andrew. And Andrew and Philip went to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, there's some Greeks out here who wants to speak to you. And so Jesus says like this, and you know, the typical response is, oh, really? Where are they? Or, I'm too busy. I can't speak right now. But no, not Jesus. This is what he says. Verse 24, he says, truly, truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves this life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. Can you just see Philip and Andrew? You want us to tell the Greeks that, huh? Okay. But look at what Jesus states concerning life. You guys are young and you're graduating. You're getting ready to go off into this new world, this different place. Look what he says concerning life. So we who live, that a seed is useless. Look at a seed. It's useless unless it is buried in the ground and dies. And from that death, it gives birth to and sprouts into a new plant. And so, in a similar way, our lives is useless if only we live for this life. If only all we see and all that we pursue are the things in this world and the things that this life has to offer. If this is as good as it gets, then we've missed the mark for what we were created for. And so Jesus is saying we have to learn how to die to our needs, learn how to die to our ambition and goals and dreams, and live simply for the pursuit of God and knowing Him and the glory and honor and the majesty of what He has created us to enjoy. That is the only thing in life that really satisfies. And Jesus understands that. Unless you give your life away, you never know what it means to truly live. And He's the greatest example of that. So how do we practice that? When we wake up every morning, you get dressed and get ready for school or work, I challenge you to ask God to show you this day what it means to die to yourself and to live instead for the glory and the majesty and the greatness of God. Because He says that he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. So, that's it right there. As you graduate, be like the fish. Swim upstream. Don't compromise your faith. Don't take the easy way out. Don't cheat. Don't hang out with people who go on the opposite direction. Go against what the rest of the world is calling you to. That's a hard challenge. Struggle upstream. And then the second thing is lay eggs. Choose someone younger than you. There's a lot of people. If you don't know anyone, come talk with me. There's a lot of young people here who would love to learn and to experience what you have experienced and learn from your wisdom. So choose someone younger than you and pour out your life. Pour out your life into their lives and see them grow and change. Lay some eggs and finally die. Learn to die. Learn what it means to die to yourself. And learn what it means to live for God. And so I just end with this quote from the Philip translations of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Very familiar passage, but I like this Philip's translation. Here's what it says. With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give Him your bodies as living sacrifices, consecrated to Him and acceptable by Him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all of His demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity. There is no greater race than what you're about to embark on, graduates. And may you learn like the fish and learn to swim upstream, learn to lay eggs, and learn to die. May God bless you as you walk in this journey. So now, I just want to invite in this order. I think the order is Fonny, and then Jeremy, and then Alice. Is that right? Okay, so we'll go in that order and have you guys come and share. So let's give them a hand.
Morning. Hi. Okay. So I have learned a lot during the past 4 years, and a lot of it based around faith and trust. Many times I struggle with letting things go and worry that they won't turn out well. To me, high school means succeed in school so I can attend a good college. Just the last school year, junior year, to me it was really crucial. It was a time where I need to get my applications done, and of course I was hoping to get into UW and UW only. My desire was UW, and during that time I stressed and worried the fact that my application was simply not good enough. It didn't even occur to me that maybe God has a plan for me, or maybe UW was already given to me. It was simply a matter of time. My small group and church members were a huge encouragement and reminder to me that they believed in me and believed in God that He will provide. Because of their support, I began to put everything in my prayers instead of taking it into my own hands. Then, of course, I find God to be quite amazing and funny at times. I waited till March for my acceptance letter. From time to time, just hearing from friends being accepted just makes me really worried. Then I prayed to God, hoping that since it is March, maybe it will be really cool to get my acceptance letter on my mom's birthday. And of course, I got it the week when my mom had her birthday. God really works in a miraculous way, and a lot of times when I reflect back, he supports me through people around me, like my family, friends, small group, and church. I believe deep down that if God didn't provide for me, high school would have been a total disaster. I would have made a lot of wrong decisions and grew into a self-satisfying person, only what I wanted. I would have only thought about what I wanted and only things that would benefit myself. Besides that, God had provided many opportunities for me, either to meet people at school or enrich my experience. I must say, freshman year, I was pretty shy and unconfident person. It might not look at it now. I might not seem like that. But I believe that I did. I believe that God had really changed me as a person. A lot of times when I talk to people, I get really nervous and I stutter a lot, like probably right now because I'm really nervous. A lot of times when I get to meet people at school that are Christian, we started having a lot of good conversation related to their youth group and their church. And it's just really amazing to see how many people around me that they're going through the same thing. And I remember once Pastor Roy said, with God, anything is possible. And that moment when he said it, I was flooded with all these moments and thoughts and a sense of thankfulness. And ever since, this phrase has been on my mind and keeping me accountable. And I believe that in college, it will do the same for me. Thank you.
What up? All right, kind of nervous too. All right, my name is Jeremy Chin, not to be confused with Jeremy Chan. I get a shout out to Jeremy because his name was left off the bulletin. He graduated too, so it's all right. I am 22 years old, and I just graduated from the University of Washington with a degree in civil engineering. Coincidentally, exactly 5 years ago, I had the opportunity to stand up here and share about my mission trip with New Life to Mexico. That was 5 years ago. So here I am again. Maybe it isn't a coincidence because exactly five years ago, it was the summer I graduated from high school. And I was about to start my freshman year at the UW. And now I just graduated college and it's the summer after. So it's a little, kind of crazy. But anyways, college was indeed the best 5 years of my life. So I'm just going to share just a little bit. I mean, a lot happened, but I'll just share just a little story. So this story is about when I applied for engineering school. So prior to my sophomore year ending, the UW Advising Center called my house, and I think my mom remembers. There's a message on our answering machine. Yeah, they called my house, and I was like, whoa, what's going on? I was like, since when did UW actually care about me? UW was still, or was and still is, the man, as we call it. And myself and all of us who sit in the hub, we try to stick it to the man as much as we can. So, but my curiosity got to me. So I was like, all right, I'll just go in to talk to this advisor. So they basically asked me what I wanted to do with my time at UW. I said, I'm applying for engineering school. And they basically told me, hey, that's great, but you need a backup plan. Because apparently my GPA wasn't very good. It was below 3.0. That's very shameful in this environment, right? So, and the average GPA for all engineers was probably like a 3.4, so I was quite below that. So, and there was also very many classes I needed to take just to apply for this one major, so I didn't really have a backup plan. So as you can imagine, I felt pretty down after this meeting, and I just had a million thoughts running through my head. I remember a few moments later that I ran into this girl that I had a few classes with. She was also applying for civil engineering. I just recall telling her what the advisor said, and she basically responded, Jeremy, we're going to get into civil engineering together. I'll see you next fall. I was like, okay. She was dead serious, but I thought she was kind of crazy, so I just went home. I actually didn't see her all summer. But anyways, I applied for engineering school on June 1st. This was a couple years ago, with no real hope. I got the results 1 month later. As it turns out, I was not rejected, but I wasn't accepted either. I was actually waitlisted. So let me tell you, like, waitlisting is like the greatest thing ever. So that feeling of not getting rejected It's not as great as, you know, succeeding, but it's not as bad as failing. So, you know. So the actual day, I had to wait 2 months for the actual results again. So 2 months later, the day they were supposed to email me was a Friday. And I remember sitting at work, you know, 8-hour day. I didn't open my email all day. And that night I went to Koinonia, the college group here. Didn't open my email before that. So I waited till about 11 that night when I was in my room alone where no one could see me cry or whatever. So I opened my email. And as you know, I actually did get into engineering school. And I gave the loudest, you know, silent, like, because my family was sleeping. It was pretty late. So I didn't want to wake them up. And then my second thought was, take that UW advising. But anyways. But honestly, I just remember thanking God so much for being faithful. Those first 2 years of college were just plain rough, but I always remember God picking me back up every time I did badly on a test or at the end of the semester or a quarter or whatever. I guess to further my story a little bit, the next 2 years I actually spent in engineering school, my GPA went up every quarter, believe it or not. Not because I worked any harder or that engineering is easy, believe me, but because God is good. So finally, my last quarter, my senior year of college, after 4 full years, and that's 12 quarters, I finally made the dean's list for the first time. So college for me was definitely a roller coaster. SCAC and Koinonia played a pivotal part in who and what I am today. College itself was difficult, but if I did not have the community here, I would probably be lost. My time in SCAC and Koinonia has given me many mentors and close friends who have stuck by my side and help shape the person you see now. 5 years was a long time, but it did feel short. You could probably ask Tung or David Schmidt what I was like back then in New Life, because they were my counselors. But I like to think I've grown up and become more the person God wants me to be. So just a quick thank you, I guess, to my family who supported me not just financially through college, but always encouraging me and allowing me to discover God on my own over the last 5 years. So just today, where I'm at now, I work full-time in engineering, but I'll always hold on to my memories from college, and I still continue to face challenges that we had in college, maybe just different challenges, but I still have this community, and that's been constant, and hopefully, you know, through these times, you guys will still be here for me in the next at least 5 years. Thanks.
Good morning. So first, I'd like to thank the church and Pastor Roy for giving me this opportunity. So I know most of you, but maybe not some of you, haven't had the opportunity to meet yet, so I'll introduce myself. My name is Alice Law, and originally I'm actually from the Tri-Cities, which is about 4 hours east, and I actually attended a Chinese Alliance church there as well. It's called Tri-Cities Chinese Alliance Church, and both my family and my parents and everybody, we served there. So moving to Seattle, only reason I moved here, obviously, was to attend the UW. And I was asked to think back or reflect the past 4 years. So I feel like that time must have been very exciting, but also very nervous and, like, very scared at the same time. I didn't have to be accountable to anyone because I was moving far, far away. And so no one could tell me, you know, what time to go to sleep or anything like that. And but I knew in the back of my head that I had to find a church. That was something that I enjoyed doing and something that I wanted to pursue and to still continue to work on my walk with God. So the second week of fall quarter in 04, I believe I attended an on-campus fellowship, Asian American Christian Fellowship, and it was at the Hub at night. And I walked in, and I didn't know a single person, so I just saw flyers. So I decided to go and put myself out there. And after waiting around for like 45 minutes, an hour, said hi to a couple people, but nothing really clicked, you know. And then as I was leaving, I was like, okay, I'm out of here. I didn't meet anybody, so I guess I won't go to church this Sunday. But as I was walking out, I met these three guys, Vince, Aaron, and Frank. And so they were like, you know, very loud and very like, oh, hi, how are you? Are you a freshman? Where do you live? You know, are you from Seattle? And so it was
I was a little nervous because I was a little timid because there were these three big guys, right? I was this like little freshman girl, and they're asking me for like my IM screen name, my address, and my phone number, and so I was a little scared, but I was like, okay. And then they said, well, we go to Seattle Chinese Alliance Church, and I was like, oh, you know, that can't be a coincidence that, you know, I went to Alliance Church back home. And so I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. Maybe God is trying to tell me that this is where I should attend. So, but I didn't really think anything of it at the time because, you know, usually a lot of people don't follow up. And these guys actually followed up every single week, and they called me and made sure that I had a ride on Sundays and then on Fridays. And I feel like that's very much a testament to the members in Koinonia and the members of SCAC, that they are very willing to meet new people and invite them to church and just follow up with them and see how their walk is going. And so with that, I guess it's been 4 years now. Really excited to be able to say that, like, I consider SCAC my home church and that I look forward to coming here every Sunday and on Fridays, and that just the members of COIN and SCAC really have that heart to reach out to people who maybe don't have a home church yet or are still searching. And that was what touched me about SCAC and I guess what made me stay. And then so then going forward a year, almost a year, I had the opportunity. Another two guys came up to me and asked me if I wanted to join Sound, which would be Chris and Justin. And that was kind of random too, because I had served in Sound back at my home church too. And so I was like, oh, this is a great opportunity. God, I guess, is further trying to tell me that this is where I belong. And so I started serving in Sound, and I felt like this is a part where I can serve the church, because I don't sing and I don't play any instruments and like a typical Asian. So yeah. So and then after that, started having more and more fellowship and getting to know the members in COIN more deeply. And I really feel like they set an example as far as my small group leaders and my small group members, that how to be encouraging to one another, really keep each other accountable, especially through college life. It can be very hard sometimes, but they're with you through the bad times and the good times, and they can celebrate the good times with you, and then they're there to support you when you are going through tough times. And so that's something that I've really learned through being here the past 4 years, is just how to be more encouraging. And so, for example, when we had this freshman dinner about a few months ago, Midnight like cooked this big dinner for all the freshman girls because we wanted to, you know, be an encouragement to them and hopefully provide them with like a nice home-cooked meal. And then the following week, I got, you know, a bunch of Facebook messages saying that they really appreciated it, and that they hadn't had a home-cooked meal in a while. And a lot of them aren't from Seattle, so their family is away as well. And so hopefully that can just be an encouragement to them, to the people who are younger, and then hopefully that will reflect back when they get older, that they can serve and give something in return to the people who are coming into COIN or are new as well. And so with that, I'm just very thankful that I've been able to be a part of SCAC and COIN for the past 4 years. And a challenge that I have learned, or that a challenge that I pose to a lot of people who are maybe coming into COIN or that are in COIN right now, is that just when you're in college, just be very open and be very aware of your surroundings, because you never know what opportunities God will place in your life. Sometimes the college campus can be very cold, and people can reject you if you're trying to share your faith. But I feel like sometimes, also on the flip side, people that are in college are the most open, and they're the ones that are most willing to try new things. And so if you take that time just to say hi or invite them to an activity at SCAC or at an on-campus fellowship, then you never know what they will say, and you never know the impact that you will have on them. And so that's just kind of my encouragement to you all, and that what I've learned is that to just not be afraid to share your faith and to ask others to join in you in your fellowship. And so a verse that I thought really reflected what I was thinking as I was writing this was Matthew 5:16, which was, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And I feel like SCAC really has that mentality. People can see through our actions and our deeds that we really try to serve the community and give glory to our Father in heaven through all that we do. So anyway, I'll be here for another year for sure doing the master's program. And then after that, I'm just really excited to see what God has in store as I transition from the academic focus to more like the career focus. So yeah, thank you.
Wow, I wish I could hear some more testimonies, but I love that. So what's your AIM? What's your phone number? That's great. That's awesome. Taught you guys well. Okay, so right now I would just invite we're going to introduce you to all the graduates here, and we'll do it by class. And so I would like to first invite Brother Rick, who has...